Praise God. Praise God. It is indeed exciting times. Today, we were at a business in High Point looking at carpet and looking at seating arrangements and seating and colors and things like that. I'm telling you right now, I'm getting nervous. And so pray for me as I pray for you. And let's believe God for the miracle to continue to unfold. Praise the Lord. I don't know what got a hold of me last night, but when I came to pray, I stepped out there on the concrete to pray. Man, it was just a matter of a few moments. I was speaking in tongues like a Chinaman, and I was going at it loud. And it's crazy how in your mind you can multitask. Now, I'm speaking in tongues and worshiping God and thinking at the same time the neighbors are going to have me locked up. But man, it felt so good. The Holy Ghost was there so strong. And then I had Brother Tom to come up to me and said last night he had an experience with God that was just phenomenal. And I said, Brother, I said, God is just simply trying his best to take us to the next dimension, another level in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And so let's continue to pray, to fast, to seek God, fighting carnality, fighting the world, fighting the flesh. Amen. So the devil can't have our next level. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go into Bible study while you're standing. And let me focus your attention on the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4, and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 4 and 1. And the man of God said, so I returned and I considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. Everybody shout comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. And everybody say expectations. Even in the Old Testament, you can sense and feel expectations of things that are coming. Much like we're feeling right now for the future. Things that are coming. Great things that are preparing to happen. Amen. Let's look at Lamentations chapter 1 and verse number 16. For these things, again, the Word of God says, I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, speaking of tears, because there it is, the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Everybody say the comforter. And then after expectation in Ecclesiastes and Lamentations, we're reading about a great longing. For the comforter. Amen. And then John 14 and 16. And I will pray, Jesus said, the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Let's go to verse 17, Brother Tyre. Amen. Speaking of a comforter, even the Spirit of truth. Everybody say, that's the comforter. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither does the world know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse number 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Somebody say hallelujah. He said, I will come to you. Amen. Praise God. Jesus said, I'll pray to the Spirit. The Spirit's going to send me. Amen. Today I'm with you, but there's coming a time that I shall be in you. And I thank the Lord for that here today. Praise God. Now, I just want to try to teach. When you get to talking about some of the stuff I'm getting ready to talk about, it's hard not to preach, but we'll do our best. Amen. And so we're going to talk about the comforter is here. Turn to your neighbor and say, the comforter's here. Praise God. Amen. And so what we've got to do in all of our minds and all of our heads and in our hearts is that we've got to get here so we can obtain the Comforter. Let's do our very best not to try to rewrite the Bible. And let's try our best not to suppress the truth, especially the truth that we don't like is in the flesh. Let's fall in love with the Word. Amen? It's because it's the Word that's going to judge us. Praise God. Amen. I know preachers get up and preach and people leave because they say, "He judged me." No, He didn't. The Word did. And the Word will judge you at the end as well. And the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. Praise the Lord. So don't run from it. Run to it. Amen. Put yourself in the firing line where the Comforter is so He can bring you comfort. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord. Jesus, we thank You again for the Word of God. We thank You for this privilege. Thank You for this wonderful honor to be in the house of God, to hear the Word of God. We ask You, Lord, to let us walk in the Holy Ghost tonight and let us obtain, let us receive and believe and act upon it in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. God bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. Praise God. And then after the day of Pentecost, well, He's been here since the day of Pentecost. Praise God. One of Jesus' greatest characteristics is His sameness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, every one of us ought to go insane. Have you ever known anybody that you don't know what they're going to be when they're going to be that? And you know, you just walk lightly around them because you don't know if they're going to go off or if they're going to be happier, if they're going to be sad or depressed or... One preacher said they're oppressed, and then they're depressed, and then they're near demon-possessed. You don't ever know. You just don't. Hey, what we need is for the ground to get level again at the base of the cross where we can all be the same. Now, I'm not talking about me like you and you like me. Praise God. I do want you to like me, and I do want to like you, but I'm not saying you've got to be like me. And I don't have to be like you. Amen. And so, because we're all fingerprints and we're all different, but there is a sameness about the characteristics of Jesus Christ that we would do good to adopt so that we too can be the same as children of God. Amen? All right. And so, sometimes when I'm having problems, it doesn't make sense. Problems to me just don't make sense. And I don't like to have problems. It's just like being sick. I don't like to be sick. When I'm sick, it makes me sick. I can't believe you didn't write that down. That wisdom wore me out. And sometimes when you have problems, problems can come against you and they can discourage you. And when you get discouraged, then you can get confused. And things just don't make sense. Well, we don't have to make sense because God makes sense. And when things don't make sense, go to God. He can make sense out of it. Amen. Amen. And I'm so excited about the scripture that I have for the ending. My last point is just a scripture, point number 4. And I can't wait to get to it. I just want to skip the whole thing just to read that scripture to you and say, go home. Because I can't wait to get to it. But we'll get to that here in just a little while. But let me tell you why you have trouble that you don't understand. Some trouble we have because we create it. Amen. Now, I'm getting personable here tonight. And I like preaching and teaching that gets personable. I mean, in other words, teach the Word of God, yes, and teach it correctly and teach it true. But listen, sometimes we need more than the Bible story. We need where we live right now. Because that's the thing that changes people. Amen. I love Abraham, but Abraham's lived his life. It's my turn now, and I need something from God. And so here we are, sometimes in the valley of confusion, and sometimes in a little trouble, sometimes burdened, perhaps perplexed, and all of that good stuff. Now, for those of you that are blessed right now, enjoy that, but give God the praise. But I'm going to be your news anchor right now and say there's a storm brewing just off the shore. Amen. Because just as sure as God made little green apples, there's a storm coming your way. Amen. But when the storm comes, let me be your news broadcaster and tell you, this too shall pass. The sun will shine again. So it doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're in the storm or not. You don't have to stay there because the Comforter is here. The Comforter is here. And all He wants to do is lock His loving arms around you and help you and lift you and be a blessing to you. Praise God. So that perhaps we don't burn the candle at both ends. Now that's a bad deal, isn't it? And so we need to understand why we're having trouble. Some trouble we have because, well, it's not a genius thing to say, but it's the truth. Some trouble we have because we created it. Amen. And I don't know how you feel about it sometimes, but I'm my own worst enemy. And every now and then, I've got to become the Paschal Lamb, Brother Ron, and I've got to lay Him on the altar and say, Lord, kill this thing so that you can live again. Amen. And when we neglect and negate that and say that we're fine, everything is all right, and we've graduated, we've got all this Christianity thing all down pat, amen, now I want to watch everybody else make sure they do too. Amen. I'm telling you right now, that's when you need an altar. That's when I need an altar. Because I'm telling you, we're not perfect until that which is perfect is coming. And I'm not using that to say that we can be imperfect. I'm using that to say we need to be striving toward perfection. Perfecting that in our own lives. In other words, today needs to be a little better than yesterday. And next week needs to be better than this week. Does that make sense? In our relationship with God, things change, but they need to change for the better. And if they're not changing, then somebody's hung up. There's a hang up somewhere. And we need to understand there needs to be growth. What have I always said about fruit? The very moment fruit becomes ripe, it begins to rot. And I don't want to become ripe. I want to continue to grow and expand for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, for the will of God, for the anointing of God, and the goodness of God. Amen. And He knows that about me because He knows my heart, and He knows my spirit, and He knows my mind. Praise God. And so some troubles are created by ourselves, our own failures, our mistakes, and some of our poor judgments. Some sufferings God puts us through so we can learn of His grace and we can learn of His comfort. Amen. Don't come try and tell me about cancer. I got a corner on cancer. And there's others here that do too. Don't we, Sister English? Yeah. We know about cancer. If you want to know about cancer, we can tell you. Amen. And so, I had no right to sit down and say, you know, when a baby is born, the first word they say is why. You notice that? Well, listen to a baby next time it's born. Why? 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 I had no reason to sit down and start crying and saying, why me? Why? 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 Instead, I looked at my family. I said, at least I know where the fight is, and I'm going to fight while I've got breath to breathe. I had no idea where God was going to take me. I had no idea what God was going to do. I had no idea of a plan that was unfolding. And I feel the Holy Ghost as I'm speaking, because you don't know like I know where God took me and what God did for me during that time and that battle. And some things I'll never share because you wouldn't believe it. And they were just personal. They were just for me. But God allows us to be put through situations like that so that when we come out on the other side, we can indeed be a blessing to someone else. And so now say, the Comforter has come. And did you know that you need to be the associate of that Comforter? That we've got to stop. We got to stop leaving all the cross toting to Jesus, and we got to take our burdens and carry them ourselves. Listen, take up your cross and follow me. He said that. Amen. So whatever the burden is, whatever the heavy is, whatever it is, whatever you're fighting, whatever you're in the middle of, amen, you're going to win. If your mind is sincere, your heart sincere, your heart, mind, spirit is right, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to make heaven your home, you want to take your family with you, you're going to make it. But you're going to learn some things on the way. When trouble and trial comes against you, you're going to win the battle. And then all of that's going to turn about face, and you're going to help somebody else win their battle. Amen. And when you're winning battle after battle after battle, and at the end of that, you're not associated with somebody that you can help, then you're missing the will of God. We can climb into our own little four walls, and we can hide ourselves from the world and say that we're this and we're that. But listen, if you're not reaching and teaching and helping somebody to find what they need, what was the point in the Lord taking you through it and being with you and helping you and salvaging you, saving you, redeeming you, blessing? I can go on now. Do you understand what I'm trying to teach? Praise God. Amen. And so, some trouble we create, some trouble comes our way because He wants to teach us about grace and comfort, strength and anointing, maybe a little patience. Amen. Hallelujah. God may not get you out immediately. What if He chooses to grow you out? What if He chooses to use this to mature your relationship with Him just a little bit and to broaden your horizon? Amen. To give you a greater capacity to meet the needs and touch lives. I'm sorry. You may get bored about it. But whatever I teach and whatever I preach is going to wind up going right to people that need God. Because I believe with all my heart, if He saved me and He let me stay on this world, that's what the whole reason was. He didn't save me just to bless me. He didn't save me just to give to me. He didn't save me so I could move in the Holy. Hey, listen, He saved me so I could save. He healed so I could heal. He delivered so I could help deliver. He strengthened so I could strengthen. He blessed so I could bless. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes in, it's got to go out or it will get stagnant and you will get confused. Amen. And so we need all of this that comes with this relationship with God. He may not get you out immediately. He may grow you out. But everybody say the Comforter's here. Amen. We serve the powerful God, right? Amen. The God of all comfort. All right? Number one, the character of the Lord, or of the word comfort. Amen. We need to look at the word and the character of the word comfort. Amen. God is not in just only a sentimental relationship with us. It's not enough for God to feel sentimental or even to feel sorry for us. We need more than pity. Right? Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a word. And I don't want you to get paranoid. But I'm going to give you a word. I want you to remember this. Everybody shout, Paracletus. Paracletus. Amen. We need to know the power of this word. What this means is the presence of God. Amen. We need more than pity. We need His presence. And in the Greek, this word, Paracletus, actually means comforter. We need His presence. We need His power. And we need His comfort. And then you can look in the mirror and say, every day, and say, no matter up, down, all around, whatever it is, and say, everything's well. All is well. The presence of God, our advocate with the Father. Someone that comes up alongside. That's what it means. Amen. Our near God. Amen. Our supernatural reinforcer. Praise God. Long story short, our comfort. We need God not only in our house. We need God in this room. We need God in the sanctuary. We need God in our cars. Right? And so we need God at all times. We don't need Him just feeling around for us, trying to find us and trying to search us out. Amen. I had a man one time to give me $500 because he witnessed the Comforter. I know it wasn't because I sang good. Maybe I preached good. And maybe you should have given it to my wife. She probably sang for me before I preached. But I just know this. People need comfort today. And they will do and pay anything they have to or want to. Amen. They're willing to give it all just to find the comfort that you and I come into all the time. So I'm begging you to take this comfort to someone else. I would not ask you to do something I wouldn't do myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was good to see my boatman here Sunday. And he came up to me after service and he said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. He said, you and me, we didn't meet by accident. I said, I know we didn't. He said, it was God, wasn't it? I said, yes, it was, buddy. He said, next Sunday, you know what? I said, what? He said, I'm bringing my wife, my whole family. We need this church. Now, I didn't say that to toot my horn, but I did say that so you can know that I got a right to say what I'm saying tonight. Amen. We've got to take this comfort to someone else and let them know there is comfort in this world. This world's going crazy. God's still insane. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, that men will give unto you, the Bible said, when your relationship has something to offer. Hallelujah. I like that song. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. You sing it with us all the time. Amen. I know you're glad you're covering my voice up. But there's no reason to complain. There is never, ever any reason to complain. There's no reason to doubt. And there's no reason to be afraid. He's the Lord of all comfort. He's not limited. Your fear don't limit him. Your doubt won't limit him. So why fear or why doubt? Because he's limitless. Why don't we take the time that we're feeling fear and doubt and go to him and have faith? That'll wipe out the fear and the doubt and give you comfort at the very same time. He doesn't just hear us. Somebody say he's here. Praise God. Amen. There is no reason to whine. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I understand that. But he's not your best friend. Amen. He's your lawyer. He's your anointer. He's a way maker. He's a problem solver. He's your code of Christian ethics. He's your Red Sea partner. Amen. He is God in you. He's the hope of glory. If he's God in you, that means he's reachable. And if he's God that's available, that means he's touchable. Am I right? He's not sympathy. He's the answer. Why should he take time feeling sorry for you when he wants to give you the answer? Amen. My preaching wouldn't get anywhere if all I did was stand up here tonight and complain about my problems. I don't need his pity. I need his presence. That's what I need. Amen. Number two, God lets us go through some things because he wants to teach us things that we wouldn't even learn otherwise. Amen. I could stand here tonight and tell you about situations that wouldn't even touch you. You'd continue to ignore me. You'd look away. But I guarantee if a doctor diagnosed it on you, you would look at it a little different tomorrow morning. And when we prayed, you'd pray a little harder. Amen. It's just natural. It's the way humans are. And God understands humanity. And he knows how to deal with it if it's sincere. Now, if God's not dealing with you in any old way, then I'd really get nervous. But if God's working on you and hammering on you and dealing with you and gouging and cutting and adding and letting you see yourself for who you really are and what you really are and how you need to change and what you need to do and how you need to. That's a God that loves you, and that's a comforter, and that's a God that feels that you can make it. There's a quality about that thing. Amen. And so there's a grand scheme to troubles, difficulties, and confusion, worry, doubt, and fear. Sometimes you got to walk into hard places and really tough times before you can truly say, I know that I know who Jesus is and what he can do. He will not shield you and protect you from every ordeal or circumstance, but in every situation, every trial and trouble, God will make a way. Amen. Be comforted today or tonight, because he's not your little drinking compadre. He's not your coffee maker. Amen. And he's your God, and he's your deliverer. Amen. He's your supernatural reinforcer of fresh fire. I'd rather have that than our best friend. Hallelujah. No, we don't like it. We don't like it when we're broke, or if people are, man, I said I couldn't give in the offering, Carson shot out of here and came back and gave me some money. Next time I will follow him. Anybody know where he went? That was cool. Amen. Hallelujah. If you know, again, we don't like it when we're broke. We don't like it when trouble and trial. Or if people are misreading us or misunderstanding us. But he's our comfort. The total source of comfort. All that we will ever need. Even good people forget. And when blessings are rolling everywhere all around us, even good people forget. And we like get like the world and look toward other things sometimes, and money or clothes and looks and try to lean on getting a good president or getting some government shifted around and changed around and all this good stuff. But listen, let God be God. Let man be what it's going to be, but let God be our comfort. I just feel like praising the comforter for just a moment, if that's all right. I know it's Bible study, but is that okay? Does that qualify tonight? Does that, amen, can we break a rule here and worship the Lord just a moment and thank God for his comfort? God is God, and he is the answer, and he is the comforter. Praise God. Amen. My God is not a predator. I'm kind of glad our little kids aren't in here tonight, because I just want to say, you know, parents, you need to watch where your kids are going on the internet. You be careful about what they do and their little phones and their computers and all of this. And I know there's a lot of things out there that are perfectly fine, but it's not perfect to spend 24 hours a day on that. And so be careful about all of that. Praise God. Some of our young people can get on there and think they're, some of you, our young men may think they're talking to an 8-year-old slick chick, not even realize that she's 55-year-old grandmother chewing tobacco. And her name's Eileen because she's only got one leg. I'm just kidding, but I'm just telling you. Words on a computer, and kids just get, oh man, I'm in love. Yeah, well, if you saw that, you wouldn't be in love 5 more minutes. It's the enemy. And so I'm just telling you, make sure your kids understand that technology is not the God of comfort. There is an intimacy that has developed between computers and technology and all of that with young people, and we need to be extremely careful about all of that. Amen. And with extreme caution and a lot of moderation, these things can bring a measure of comfort. but we need to let them and teach them and show them that these things are not the comforter. Is that okay? Amen. He's the Lord of all comfort. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, that the comforter may come. In other words, the flesh is wearing out. The flesh is doing its duty and it's almost over. But after I am gone, or the flesh is gone, I'm coming again in another way. And that's the comforter. I'm with you now, but here shortly I'm going to be in you. Again, how many of you have the Holy Ghost tonight? Could we thank God for the comforter? Could we praise God for the comforter? Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, He comforts in any kind of trouble, whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, moral, whatever it may be. Amen. We need to hear the loud voice of God and understand, amen, that He's our disciplinarian. He can get on to us anytime. He can rebuke us anytime. He can sit us down. He can stand us up. He can put us down or He can lift us up. And we need to say, not my will, but thy will be done. I want to do this thing and I want it to be done right. Amen. So people are going to come, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going to leave. They're going to be up and they're going to be down. They're going to do great things and they're going to do sad things. People are going to fail and make mistakes. Listen, let's not throw them out. And let's not put them in the trash. I'm talking about the people that are sincere. Now, we got some hang-arounds, you know, just trying to get whatever they can get and all that good stuff. Amen. I'm not even interested in that. I'm talking about people that are sincere, people that really want to get back. Amen. Let's reach out to them. Let's get them back in this place. Let's call on the name of Jesus and believe the Lord. The man said it earlier, our backsliders are coming home. When they come home, they're going to want this stuff. They're not going to be hang-arounds and scoping the... they're going to be sincere. They're going to be real. Amen. Their hearts are going to be right. You know what? And God can reestablish and replace what the cankerworm has devoured. We've seen this, and we'll see it again many times over, but we just can't give up. And you can read the Spirit well enough to know the difference, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They're coming, and they're going to be hungry. They're not going to be interested in milking you, but what they're going to be interested in is getting the comforter back, getting the anointing back, getting the power back, getting the authority and the dominion of the Spirit back. And you and I have been here all along. And why? So we can help them when they do. Do you believe me? Good, 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 good. So He's our comfort in any kind of trouble, whatever it may be. And so, and we're not going to throw people out. Praise God. They call whatever they've been doing, wherever they've been, whatever they've done. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're showing that. Their demeanor shows that. We're going to reach out to them. We're going to save them. We're going to help them. Amen. Amen. They're coming home. They're coming home. They're coming home. Amen. Take Paul, for instance. Look at his testimony. How many of you have ever read his testimony in the Word of God? You know where Paul came from. There is no telling how many Christians Paul killed and how much wrong and how rebellious and whatever it was, however he came against God. There is no telling if history was written. You know, the Bible said when Paul came to the Lord, after that, the rest of his life, he had a thorn in the flesh. And I've heard a lot of people... had a lot of philosophy about that, so I got my own philosophy about that. Amen. The Bible doesn't say what it is, and so, you know, all the preachers trying to figure it out. Amen. And so it was a thorn, and so that means pain. And so if it was a pain, it kept him up at night. It troubled him during the day. He was probably thinking about it while he was preaching and all of that. But I don't think it was a physical pain. I think it bothered him. and his flesh suffered because he was in torment. But I think that after Paul came to Jesus Christ, all he could see was the faces that he caused torment upon. Amen. And I think that was the driving force that made him write over half the New Testament. I think that was the driving force that made him pray through prisoners and guards. They had to replace guards with him every 45 minutes because history said they were receiving the Holy Ghost down there. Paul was preaching because everyone he was reaching for, he remembered the ones that he annihilated. Amen. And I believe personally that was his thorn in the flesh. And he said, Lord, take it away. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. I have forgiven you for all of that, but you're not going to forget it because it's going to drive you into the future. It's not going to cause you to judge others to be just like you. It's not going to cause you to hate others that aren't just like you. It's not going to cause you to refrain from reaching out and going into seclusion because you want to be perfect. Amen. But it's going to drive you out there in the world, and it's going to make you be a comforter to somebody because of the comfort that I have brought you. My grace is sufficient. I know and you know what you were. And so you're just going to have to deal with it. And let's go to the future. Amen. I'm telling you, the worst sinner in this house that God has forgiven needs to own a Bible study chart. Because, man, is there a testimony you can share? Is there's people out there you can reach? And then the one, like my son that preached here Sunday night and said, I've never tasted alcohol. I've never sucked a cigarette down to the brown part. I wanted to run the aisles, hallelujah, because I wish I had that testimony. I wish I could share that with the world. The world doesn't even believe you can live like that. The world doesn't even know that you can raise a child like that. The Comforter is here, and the Comforter is in us. And so what should we do with the Comforter? Hallelujah. Paul was one of the worst people that you could even imagine. And here he comes to the Lord. Praise God. Look at his testimony. Amen. You're under the rule in the Word of God of the Pauline epistles right now. Amen. Living for God according to the Word of Paul. Because the Lord gave Paul the Word. Paul was one of the worst men that you could ever imagine. My, my, my. The responsibility is on us to do more. And to be more open and sensitive to the needs of others, to the desires and the dreams of others. Amen. It's going to get sad. It's going to get ugly. But to be a comfort, you've got to be able to cover that without that being effective to you. Amen. Can I just give you a few things that I've seen in one day? One day. In one day, I've stood beside one that had 3 months to live. And in one day, I've stood beside one that had only been dead just a few minutes. In one day, I've stood beside that one that was headed to detox. I've been up here in the middle of the night and prayed for the backslider that was overdosed on drugs. And when I finished praying for him, he didn't even have to go to the emergency room because it was over. He was done, and he was in his right mind. If I told you who that was tonight, you'd say, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. I know what the Comforter can do because he's had to comfort me. He didn't do that just to comfort me. He didn't do that because I'm so good. He didn't do that because I'm so spiritual. He did that because he knew that I would want to comfort someone else. And he will keep me in the kingdom as long as I continue to keep comforting others. Because he'll keep that flowing through me. Amen. Somebody say, yeah. Amen. And so, I've gone through cancer. You know that. So, I can tell somebody today about cancer. I can tell somebody about the Comforter that will come. Amen. I've been to marriage disputes. The wife would call and say, preacher, we need you over here, and we need you over here right now. And I go, and there's police dogs out there. That's how bad it was. Amen. Another song comes to me and makes it all worth everything. And it says, He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, I will welcome His returning. Because, Brother Tom, when He comes, He will be a comfort. And all this world will be gone. Just like you experienced last night. All the pain and suffering will be gone. And it will be something like we just cannot understand and cannot put words to. Let's stand together. He's returning. But when He returns, He don't just have me on His mind. He's got my brother and my sister. He's got my friends. He's got visitors. He's got complete strangers to this church on His mind. And here's what He's saying. He said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me, and be blessed. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Because the Comforter's here. Hallelujah. That's chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of how much comfort? Wow. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, there it is, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We were comforted of God now. We comfort them. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. There it is. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation, and it is for your salvation. Trouble can ultimately bring us closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. And our hope of you, this is what we hope for you, is steadfast, knowing, that's knowledge, that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. Gravity's going to lose its hold one of these days, and we'll never have to look back to the trouble we've been through or the trouble we're trying to help anybody else through. But until that day, the Comforter is right here. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him honor. Let's give Him thanks. Lord, I don't know what you're trying to teach my brother. I don't know where you're taking him, but God, I pray in Jesus' name that you take him all the way. I don't know what my sister's facing right now, and I don't know what the suffering really is, but I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll take them all the way through, and that they obtain whatever the consolation is that you would have them to obtain. In the mighty and in the wonderful and in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I know that whole churches go through it. I know congregations, I know pastors and their wives and their children. Amen. I know there's trouble everywhere, but the Comforter is here all the time. All of the time.
He's coming.
All of the time.
He's coming.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for your strength. Times I don't understand. Times I'm confused. Times I'm thrown back. Times I'm knocked sideways. Oh God, Holy Ghost, let me look to you. Hallelujah. From whence cometh my help? Because my help comes from you, Lord. And then when it comes, Lord, let it flow all the way through. Because there's somebody you're trying to get to. And I know it. I can share. I can care. I know where it is. I know what it is. I know how it works. Oh, God.
We know.
My.
He's come.
Jesus. Let's just sing it together one more time for the glory of God. Believing it.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome His returning. It may
challenging you to be encouraged tonight, because the Comforter is here. And He said, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. So there's comfort there 24/7 till Jesus comes. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands. Meet a friend. We've got guests and visitors here that know you love them. Let them know. Hallelujah.